Okay, Parshas Kisaitzei, first pasuk. Kisaitzei la mechama al yevecho. When you go to mechama against your enemy, unasana Hashem al kecha biyadecho v'shavisa shivyoi. Hashem will give the enemy in your hand and you capture captive. Of course, the Parsha Peshat refers to the mechama against the goyim, a mechama against our enemies. But it's brought down that the mechama is also a remes, the mechama of the Yetzirah. The Muhammad refers to the Muhammad against the Yevech, against your enemy. And who's your enemy? The Yetzirah. When a person goes out to Muhammad against the Yetzirah, if a person goes out and he fights against the Yetzirah, he'll be Zaycha. Hashem will give the Yetzirah over into your hand via Shavisa Shivya, you'll capture the Yetzirah. Somebody once came to the Tiferes Shleima. And he said to him, he said, yesterday I had a nisayon, and I had a battle with the Yetzer Hara. And yesterday I won, I was able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. And today I had the same nisayon, today I lost, the Yetzer Hara won. And he said to Pharisee Shlomo, what kind of a person am I? One day I win, one day I lose, one day the Yetzer Hara wins. What kind of a person am I? I can't seem to win, I can't seem to fight against the Yetzer Hara. And Tzaras Shlomo said to him, the pasuk says Kiseitzei la mechama. It doesn't say Kiseitzei la nitzachayin. When you go out to win, it says Kiseitzei la mechama. When you go out to fight, the ikur is that you go out to fight. As long as you're fighting against the Yetzer Hara, it's like any battle. Just like any battle, the wins and the losses. Just because this side had a victory today doesn't guarantee tomorrow. The same is true with the Yetzer Hara. Just because a person has a victory today doesn't mean he'll be victorious tomorrow. Kiseitzei la mechama. But the ikar is that he goes out to fight. That he's aware he's fighting the Yetzer Hara. And he doesn't give up. And as long as a person is in the mechama, eventually a person will overcome the Yetzer Hara. A chassid once traveled to the Yisoid HaAvodah, the son of a Rebbe, and he came to the Yisoid HaAvodah. And the Rebbe asked the chassid, but a tish, the Rebbe asked the chassid, how did you come? How did you travel here? How did you arrive? And the chassid said, I came by donkey. Well, I'm going back. Long time ago. I came by donkey. And the Rebbe said to him, what would be if you fell off the donkey? What would you do if you fell off the donkey? And he said, the chassid, I would pick myself up and climb right back on the donkey and continue going. And the Rebbe said, and what would be if you fell a second time? You fell off the donkey? And the chassid said, I'd pick myself up, right back on the donkey, and I'd keep on going. And the Rebbe said,
another time.
What if you fell down a third time? And the chassid was getting a little bit, didn't know what the Rebbe wanted. And he said to the Rebbe, what does the Rebbe want from me? I should sit on the floor and cry? Of course I'll pick myself up and go back onto the donkey. So the Rebbe said, that's what I wanted to hear. The same is true when a person has an assignment, a person has a challenge, a person has a fight with the Yetzer Hara. You're on top. Suddenly you fall off. The Yetzer Hara is winning. You fell. You didn't withstand the Nisayon. What do? You pick yourself up. You try a second time. You fell a second time. What do? Pick yourself up. The third time. What should I do? Sit on the floor and cry? You pick yourself up and you try. A person has to kiseitzei la mechama, go out to fight. The ikar is that a person should know that it's a mechama, and no matter if he falls, he has to know that he picks himself up and he keeps on going. And Kiseitzei la mechama yevecho, the pasuk has avtocha at the end of the song, Hashem lekecha biyadecho v'shavisa shivyoi. The pasuk says later on, famous marshal from the Vilna Magid, has said it over many times, but it's always worthwhile to repeat. The pasuk tells us in Perek Chof Gimel, pasuk Hey, the pasuk tells us, Amoni mi'avi in pasuk dalad lo yovoy amoni mi'avi b'kar Hashem. Amoni mi'avi dalad enter into the kar Hashem. Gam dor asimri, even the 10th generation lo yovoy him can enter b'kar Hashem adoyim forever. Why not? So Perek Chof Gimel pasuk Hey, al devar asher akidmu eschem b'alechem v'mayim, because Amon and Moav didn't come out to greet you with bread and water. Baderech betzeischem Mitzrayim, on the way after you left Mitzrayim. And they hired against you as Bilam ben Ba'or, Mepsaram Narayim, they hired Bilam Kalalekah to curse you. And Duno Magid is very bothered by the Pasuk. Is it two reasons? Is it one reason? They didn't bring in bread and water. They hired Bilam. Which one is worse? Bilam, not bringing bread and water. What's the connection between the two reasons the pasuk gives? Do the Maggid's famous marshal, which probably as soon as I start, everyone can finish it. But I think it's worthwhile to say it, to say it over again. There was a farmer, Amoritz, and he had a daughter on the market, and his daughter wanted to marry a Talmud Chacham. The farmer didn't know too much. So what did he do? He travels to the nearby town, he travels to the city, and he meets the Rosh Hashiva, and he says to the Rosh Hashiva, I have a daughter who wants to marry a Talmud Chacham, and after the marriage, my son-in-law, my future son-in-law, come live with me in my house, and I'll feed him, I'll give him breakfast every day, supper every day, and he can stay and learn, and I'll take care of him. And then Rosh Hashiva thinks it over, suggests a certain boy, and life goes on, and the shidduch goes through. And this Talmud Chacham, this Yeshiva Bacham, marries the farmer's daughter. After the Chasana, after the Sheva Brachas, life settles down, and the Yeshiva Bacham, the younger man, is now living in his Shver's house, the farmer's house, and he's expecting to be taken care of. And the first morning for breakfast, he gets a little dry bread and water. Supper, he figures will be a little bit better, he'll get some better food for supper, gets a small piece of herring, dry bread and water. Okay, maybe tomorrow the menu will be a little bit better. The next morning, dry bread and water. Supper, herring, dry bread and water. Day in and day out, nothing more. He tries to hint to his wife, to Shver, that he needs a little bit of an improvement in the menu, but it falls on deaf ears. No one's interested in hearing what he has to say. And the son-in-law realizes that this calls for drastic measures and decides to go on a hunger strike. He's not going to eat anything at all until the Shver serves him decent food. The next morning they bring him his dry bread and water. Doesn't touch it, it's left over. The Shver, the farmer, comes to clean up and he sees nothing was touched. And he says to his son-in-law, why aren't you eating? I'm not hungry. Comes supper time, he brings him the little herring, the bread and the water. The son-in-law doesn't touch a thing. The farmer comes to clean up, everything's left. Why aren't you eating? And it happens the next morning. And finally the son-in-law says to him, until you give me good food, I'm not eating any more of this dry bread and water. I had enough. And the farmer gets very upset and he says, what chutzpah you have. Here I am taking care of you, I'm feeding you, and you're not eating what I give you. I'll teach you. And the next morning, the son-in-law is served his dry bread and water. He refuses to eat. The big farmer comes in with two big goyim, two big workers that he hired, and they stand right next to the son-in-law and they say to the son-in-law, eat or else. And he refuses to eat. And they start giving him makis and hitting him until he eats. And he's forced to eat the dry bread and the water. Supper, the same thing happens. He refuses to eat. The farmer brings his two big workers in, and they stand on top of him, and they beat him and hit him until he eats. That night, the son-in-law decides he's had it. He's running away. He can't stay here anymore. He's running away. This is not the life that he wanted, not the way to live. He's running back to Rosh Hashiva and telling him exactly what's happening. In the middle of the night, he runs away and goes back to Yeshiva. The next morning, they all wake up, and the husband, the son-in-law, is gone. And they're looking all over, where could he be? And they can't find him. And the farmer figures, he probably ran back to his Rosh Hashiva. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. I'll bring him back. Just watch. The farmer travels to the Yeshiva, and he comes into the Rosh Hashiva's room, and he says to him, oh, my son-in-law, there he is, he's right here. What an ungrateful bocher he is, what an ungrateful son-in-law he is. I feed him, I take care of him. And he runs away in the middle of the night. Is that how he treats us? What kind of boys do you have in your yeshiva? And the Rosh Hashiva says to the farmer, tell me your side of the story. What happened? And the farmer says, every day I give him dry bread and water. I'm so generous. I give him a little herring at night. And this is how he pays us back. He doesn't eat. He runs away. And the bocher says, I can't eat the same thing day in and day out. I want the better food. And I ran away because he hired two big workers to come in and to hit me and beat me until I eat. And the Rosh Hashiva says to the farmer, why don't you give him better food? Why do you give him only bread and water for a little herring? And the farmer says, I couldn't afford it. It's very expensive to give better food. That's all I eat. I can't afford better food. So the Rosh Hashiva says to him, aha, but you could, but enough money to hire those two gangsters to beat him up, for that you had money. For that you had money. But you didn't have enough money for the better food? It's not a complaint. It's not a tanya. You're wrong. So the Dunam Magid, that's exactly the pshat. What was the tanya against Amon Amoyov? The pasuk says, "Al devar asher lekidlu eschem balechem v'mayim." They didn't bring out bread and water to Bnei Yisrael, and they hired Bilam and Behar. Amon Amoyov could defend themselves. You know what? We didn't bring bread and water. Here's a whole nation, 600,000 people, the men alone, with the ladies and the children, millions of people. You want us to give bread and water to millions of people? It's higher than the budget. Our budget, the economy's budget, can't handle it. It's too much. We can't afford it. Oh, says the Pasuk, V'asher Sachar Lechas Bilam and Behar. But you hired Bilam. For that you had money. Bilam wasn't cheap. Bilam was very expensive. To hire Bilam, for that you had money. So, Mameli, your excuse is not an excuse, and therefore it's a tie against Amnon Moyov that they didn't give the bread and the water. So the second half is really explaining the first half of the Pasuk. It's a tie because you can't say you were poor, because you had enough money to hire Bilam ben Behar. Famous Moshe from the Dunam Magid. But the Maisa, we can all carry this through to ourselves. How many times we find time to do our Narish Kaiten? When it comes time to do a chesed, when it comes time to learn, suddenly, I don't have time, I'm too busy. For this we found time, and for this we can't find time. For this we had a few extra dollars. At the stock of the chesed, we didn't have a few extra dollars. A person makes a little cheshbon nefesh. We have to set our priorities straight. The Pasuk says, in Perek Chafei, Pasuk Beis and Gilel, the Pasuk speaks about giving somebody malchus. For Hoyim ben Hakois Harosho, so the Pasuk says, how much malchus do we give to a person? So the Pasuk, Chafei, V'hoya, Chafei Pasuk Beis, V'hoya min hakois harasha, V'yipiloi ha-shayfet, V'yikol lefonov, K'dei resh'asai b'mispah. They hit the rasha, give him malchus. Arboim yakenu le'yaseh, 40 malchus. Give him 40. So we all know from the Sechta Malchus, we don't give 40, we give only 39, with darshan. The last pasuk ends, pasuk beis ends b'mispar, pasuk gimel starts arboim. We read it together b'mispar arboim, the number that's next to 40, the number that leads in, that leads up to 40, which means 39. So how many malchus do we give? We give only 39. And the Mishnah Malchus tells us, how do we give the 39 malchus? Shlush milafanov, 1/3 in front, u'shtei yodos me'achram, 2/3 behind. 1/3 on the front, on the stomach, and 2/3, 1/3 on each of the two shoulders from the back. Says the Kli Yaakov, beautiful. A person who does an Aveiro is chayv 39 malchus, lamites. What's the significance of 39? Says the Kli Yaakov, because 39 is three groups of 13. 13 malchus on the front, 13 malchus on one shoulder, 13 malchus on the other shoulder. One who does an Aveiro, b'mezid, with a hasra, he knows it's asr. He does it anyway. He deserves 13 malchus once, because he's a kaifer and Hashem echad. Hashem is one. Echad. Aleph ches dalet. Gematria is 13. 13 should be a kaifer and Hashem. Another set of 13, he's a kaifer in the Torah. The Torah says not to do it. He did it. The Torah is nidreshes, but you'd give him midos. The Torah is darshan, is explained with 13 midos. Klal Prata Klal, Zereshova, Kabachim, and so on. There are 13 methods of dashing the Torah. He's a kaifer the Torah, 13 midos, 13 nakos. Another set of 13, because he went against his Yetzer Tov. Every person has the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov. At what age does the Yetzer Tov come to a person? The Yetzer Tov comes to a person when he turns bar mitzvah. He's born with the Yetzer Hara. But the Yetzer Tov comes to a person when he turns 13. So he went against the Yetzer Tov that came to him at the age of 13. 13. He's chayv malchus three times, once in front, shtei yodos me'acherov. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, ben arboim lebina. At 40 years old, a person has seichel, a person understands. This person obviously doesn't understand, because he did an aveira against Hashem, against the Torah, he doesn't understand. V'hoya im bin hakos harasha, bin, bina. This person is missing his seichel, his bina. Therefore, he doesn't get 40 malchus, he gets one less, because ben arboim lebina. But he doesn't have bina. He doesn't have seichel. Ein adam chaytei elam kein nichnas by ruach shtus. A person doesn't do an aveira unless a ruach shtus enters his mind. He's missing bina. He's missing understanding. 40 represents bina. Therefore, he gets one less. He gets 39 to show that he's underneath. He's missing from bina. And continues the Kli Yaakov. Why dafka 1/3 in front and 2/3 in the back? because this person obviously didn't learn the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Akav yibimahal aloimer. If a person looks at three things, the person has a mind, shloish dvarim, einatob boli deaveir. A person won't come to do an aveira. What are the three? Da me ayin basa, not from where you came with tipa serucha. Oh, if this person would have thought about milafonov, from in front of him, from where he came, he wouldn't have done the aveira. What's the second? On ata hoylech. To where are you going? To a mokoim offer rimel v'seileh, to the kever. If you would think about his end, where he's headed, he wouldn't do the aveira. And what's the third? In front of whom do you have to give the cheshbon? Hashem. Also the future. We'll be in Shemayim after 120 years. La'achara, what's coming up? What's the future? So he didn't think about one machshava about his beginning, which would have prevented him from doing the Aveira. He didn't think about me'ayin basa. He didn't think about the two machshavas of achara, the two that are in the future. Therefore, he gets Malkus one third in front, because he didn't think about the Mlafonov, and two thirds behind, because he didn't think about the future. At the end of the parasha, we come to the mitzvah of Yibum and Chalitza. The pasuk tells us, V'nikra Shemoi B'Yisrael Beis Chalitza Na'al. L'chatchira is a mitzvah of Yibum, if not, we do Chalitza. Bisman Azeh, Abashol holds that we don't do Yibum, because that's only the Mechavein L'Shem Shemayim, and since today we're not Mechavein L'Shem Shemayim, therefore we do Chalitza, and we don't do Yibum. And the Pasuk describes the process of Chalitza between the Yavam and the Yavam, and all the Dinim that we learn out. There's a famous story, say over, Reb Shloimeh, we'll see who he was soon. Reb Shloimeh had a brother who was nifter without any children. And they lived on opposite ends of the world. Reb Shloimeh lived here, and his brother lived overseas somewhere else. And in those days, it was quite difficult to travel from one end to the other. And the dead brother left over an almana without any children. And she needed chalitza from the brother, Reb Shloimeh, who lived far away. And Reb Shloimeh decided that no matter what it takes, he's going to be mekayim the mitzvah of chalitza, and free the almana to be able to remarry. And not to remain in a guna, to be able to remarry by giving her chalitza. He didn't have much money, a poor person. He decided that he's going to try and go out on his journey. And he starts traveling, and after great difficulty, he reaches the docks, the sea, where the ships are leaving from, and he has to find passage in one of the ships to be able to travel overseas to be able to reach the almana. By that time, he has no money left. He's able to bargain with one of the captains to do work on the ship, and he hires himself out to do work on the ship in exchange for passage to cross overseas. And the captain agrees, and he takes him on board. He had a very difficult journey traveling over the ocean, and finally he arrives on the other side after great difficulties. He finally is able to reach Dalmona's house. He comes in, and she's very happy to see him because she thought she'd be in Aguna the rest of her life. She won't be able to remarry, and now her husband's brother shows up. There's only one problem. There's no Bezdin in that town. There's no Bezdin nearby who could perform the Chalitza, help them do Chalitza. So after traveling this great distance, they don't have a Bezdin in front of whom to do the Chalitza. So he and their Amana pack up, and they travel till they come to a big city, and they find the Bezdin, and finally, after many, many months and a long journey, he's able to do the mitzvah of Chalitza, and she's free to marry whoever she wants. This Amana was no poor lady. She was quite wealthy. After the Chalitza is done, she says to the brother, to Shloimeh, I want to pay for all your expenses, I want to pay for all your troubles that you had, and I want to give you a nice matana for all the difficulties and for taking the time and for coming to save me. I should be able to remarry. Reb Shloimeh says, what? I should give away my schar, the mitzvah, for money? I'm not taking a penny from you. I don't want anything at all. This is my mitzvah that I did with great difficulty. And I'm not selling this mitzvah or giving it away for any money in the world. And she persists, takes something, and he refuses. He doesn't take anything at all. She goes back, and he starts his journey home. On the way back, he meets an old man. He comes to a Zaken, and an old man bumps into him, and they start talking. The Zaken says to him, where are you traveling? Where do you come from? What are you doing here? And Reb Shloimeh tells him the whole story. that he had on the Amono, needed chalitza, and he traveled far away to give a chalitza. The Zochin says, "Ooh, that's such a choshev mitzvah you did. You know what? Let me have part of your mitzvah. Let me give you a nice present. I really am impressed by what you did. Let me give you a nice present. Here, take something, take it." Rav Shmuel says, "Chas v'shalom, this is my mitzvah. I did a mitzvah. I'm not taking any reward for this mitzvah at all. I'm not taking any reward for it." And the Zochin says to him, "Let me at least pay for your expenses. You had tremendous expenses, traveling, and expenses going home, food, and so on. Let me pay you at least for your expenses." And Rav Shmuel says, "Not a penny. I'm not taking a penny for this mitzvah that I did. It's purely l'shem Shemayim." The Zochin says to him, "I want you to know, I'm Eliyahu Hanavi. I was sent down in Hashemayim to test you, to see if you would be willing to take any reward for the mitzvah in this world. And now that I see that you're not going to take any reward, I bench you that the same way you feed up the Amona to remarry, you should be zeichet to have a son who will light up Klal Yisrael." And he was zeichet to have a son, the Be'er Mayim Chaim, or a famous Pirush and Chumash called the Be'er Mayim Chaim, other Sfarim, Siddur Rosh Shabbos, other famous Sfarim, who was a big gadol in his own right, because of the mysterious nefesh that his father had for this mitzvah. We all know schar mitzvah b'hai amaleko. There's no schar for a mitzvah in this world. The true reward for a mitzvah is in Olam Haba. The true reward for a mitzvah is in Olam Haba. The famous Shem Shmuel, earlier in the parasha, Rashi tells us, the Pasuk puts together a few mitzvahs that at first glance seem to have no connection at all. It says, right after Shulishi, in Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Ches, Kisivna Bayis Chadosh, if you build a new house, the Asisa Maki, make a fence for your roof. Next Pasuk, V'Sizra Karmach HaKlayim, don't plant Klayim. Next Pasuk, V'Sachrash, don't plow with a Shor and a Chamar together. Next Pasuk, V'Silva Shatnes, don't wear a Shatnes. Next Pasuk, Gedigam Tasiloch, Tzitzis, making a fence for your roof, a vineyard, the Shor and the Chamar, Shatnes, Tzitzis. So, it's not Rashi, but it's brought down, the Gemara brings it down, that the Pasuk is teaching us a person does one mitzvah, you build a house, you'll be zeichet to be mekayem the next mitzvah of klayim. Not to plant, you have a vineyard. Yezeichet, you have a shor nechama. Yezeichet, you have a begadim. Yezeichet, you'll be able to put tzitzis. One mitzvah leads to another mitzvah. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. And Hashem Shmuel was bothered, if schar mitzvah, b'hai amaleka, what do you mean schar mitzvah, mitzvah? Isn't that a reward for a mitzvah also, in a sense? And he explains beautifully. And he says that this world is what we call an olam hachana, a world of preparation. This world is a world we prepare for the next world. The next world is called olam hatachlis. That's the ultimate goal, is the next world. This world is the olam hachana. There's no reward in this world if the reward is the end. The reward is the end. But if the reward is to be used to continue our preparation, to continue preparing for our ultimate olam haba, then that's not schar as an end. Schar as an end exists in the next world, not in this world. But schar mitzvah, mitzvah is just a continuation of our preparation. A person is preparing and needs help in his preparations to be able to continue. That schar does exist in this world, and that gives a person the ability to be able to continue on and on and on. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. So, like we mentioned last week, everyone likes to put chusim. And Elo, Tzchusim, what can I do to be Zaycha? Yom Adin, Tzchusim. And of course there are many, many answers, I am part of Matayra, but one idea that the Musa Sfarim bring down is the idea of a person making a Kabbalah, a person taking something extra upon himself. Take something extra upon yourself, and that should be a Tzchus for you. That will be a good lawyer to defend you for the coming year. You're improving yourself, you're taking on something extra. Of course, not at the expense of something you're doing right now. It shouldn't be in addition to what he's doing right now. It sounds like a tremendous requirement, a tremendous obligation. So I'll tell you over two stories. Rabbi Eliyahu Lapyan asked Rabbi Leib Chasman once, what should he do? What Kabbalah should I take on for the coming year? I want to take upon myself a Kabbalah for the coming year. What Kabbalah should I take upon myself for the coming year? Rabbi Leib Chasman told him, you decide. Told Rabbi Lapyan, you decide. Whatever you feel that you could handle, that's what you should take it upon yourself. Sometime later, Rabbi Lapyan came back and he said to Rabbi Chasman, I have my Kabbalah. And he told him what it was. Rabbi Leib Chasman said to him, are you sure you'll be able to do it for a whole year? Are you sure? Do you know it could be mechabel? Are you sure you could do it for a whole year? And Rabbi Leib Yan says, yes, I'm sure. Rabbi Leib Chasman told him, good. Now cut it in half, cut your kabbal in half, and be mechabel to do half of it. And maybe you'll be matzliach. Don't take too much. Everybody thinks, yes, I can do it, I can do it. Take something that you can do. And even then, take only half. A Kabbalah doesn't have to be something great, it could be something small. It's brought down the idea that the Shofar has a wide end and a narrow end. We blow from the narrow end. And the coil comes out from the wide end. A person can make a small Kabbalah, the narrow end, and it's very wide. It accomplishes a lot. A small Kabbalah can accomplish a lot. I saw these stories today. Reb Zundel Kreuzer was a choshev Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim. He was nifter a year or two ago. Somebody once came to him and he asked him. He said, "The Kodesh Baruch Hu is very good to me. Hashem did certain nisim to me, and I want to take a Kabbalah upon myself to thank Hashem. What Kabbalah do you suggest I take upon myself as a way of l'hoidus Hashem, as a way of thanking Hashem?" Reb Zundel Kreuzer said to him, whatever say that you have in learning, end 1 minute later. For example, if you learn from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, instead of ending your say at 10 o'clock, end at 10:01. You learn from 11 to 12, end at 12:01 instead of ending at 12 o'clock. Take on one extra minute in your learning. So Reb Zundel had a chavrusa, was sitting there, and he said to him, Reb Zundel, 1 minute? What difference does 1 minute make? Is 1 minute worth anything? A Kabbalah for 1 minute? The seed wants a Kabbalah to show his thanks to Hashem. And all you're telling him to take upon himself is one extra minute? And Reb Zundel said, you forgot the Gemara in Tainis, the Daf Lamed Aleph, the last Daf in Tainis. The Gemara tells us that from Tu Ba'av and on, Toshash Koicha Shochama, the Koich of the sun starts to diminish. And that's why they were only able to use the wood for the Atzei HaMarach, for the Mizbeach, that was caught before Tu B'Av, because the sun is strong. After Tu B'Av, the sun's koyach starts to decrease. It doesn't dry out the wood sufficiently. It's wet. It comes filled with bugs, worms, and it can't be used for the mizbeach. And the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Mikan ve'eilech the meisif yosef." From Tu B'Av and on, one who adds on to his learning at night, Hashem adds on years of life to him. And one who doesn't add on learning doesn't have extra years. And Rashi explains, Mefarshim will explain, because the nights are starting to get shorter, and the days are starting to get shorter, the nights are now longer, so since the nights are becoming longer, one should use the extra time that he has at night to be able to learn. Rabbi Zundel said to his chavrusa, tell me, how much longer is the night of Tu B'Av than the day before? And the Gemara says, now the nights are becoming longer. So, I did a little research today. I checked back Shkia, I went back this year, I looked at Shkia on Tu B'Av and Shkia on Tezayin Av. Shkia on Tu B'Av is 8:59 and 3 seconds. Shkia on Tezayin Av is 8:47 and 49 seconds. An afkamina of 1 minute and 14 seconds. 1 minute and 14 seconds was the difference between Shkia on Tu B'Av and Shkia on Tezayin Av. And yet for that, the Gemara says, one should add on his learning because the night's longer. One who adds on is Zaycheh to Brachis. For 1 minute and a few seconds, the Gemara says, he's zaycha, you should add on extra learning. You see how choshev even 1 minute of learning is. And the Kabbalah, to learn one extra minute is worth a lot. So, no need to make Kabbalahs to learn tremendous extra amount of times, because it's going to last for a short while, then it fizzles out. Better make a small Kabbalah that will last and last and last, and that change will be a melut yosha, will be a schus for a person, and will speak good on a person's behalf. So Shtak will be Zeicha. We're holding already a week before Slichus, 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. We should be Zeicha to be able to improve ourselves in whatever way we all know we need improvement. We should be Zeicha to Kesivich Simatayva and a good convention.